Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never, and that debt is fraud, and we would ask that you remember when you finish your appeal to heaven, you take a stand and you do everything you possibly can to actually, what I want to say is that you become a part of the solution. I'm going to dive into that in just a minute. Let me finish these obligatories. So when you're done, you got to get up and you got to be resolved and committed to doing what is necessary that will actually solve the problem. It's an exercise in futility, and actually many paths of resistance kind of take you down. I'll basically reference it as a pyrrhic victory. A pyrrhic victory is, and I'm probably mispronouncing it, it starts with P, and it is a victory that was won at such a cost, you can't really claim you won. And so, in other words, both sides lose. Everybody loses. And so, when we kind of look at what we need to be doing, my final obligatory, I think, is what I'm going to shift into a single obligatory, or, you know, more focused, because this really has to be the point. Because if we're not demanding, if we're not opposing every infraction, and we're only going to find, you know, this, you know, righteous indignation towards one infraction and overlook all of the rest of them, then if you understand, if you're a person that understands that there are so many different problems and every single one of them needs to be taken care of. In other words, you know, there are those who really feel they're in the moral high ground because their position is fighting abortion. And yet there are people, you know, conversely, that are believing they're in the higher, you know, moral high ground because they're fighting the education system and the moral turpitude that it is unleashing upon our future generations. There are plenty of people that are claiming to be on the high ground, but not one of them are. And anybody that wants to go down a path that is not capable of, I mean, you can do what you want, and it may actually bring money. It may give you political credentials. Wow, you've done something. And now then you can get in there and you can actually show off how well you can compromise the rest of our government just like everybody before you has. Unless you are a champion of standing up against every infraction and demanding full compliance, we can get there. We actually have a system and a process that was given to us by the divine hand of providence. Not given this to us by me, not GR. GR is only the guy that was the only one in these days that even recognized this. I was the dumb guy. I was the guy that just was challenging everything. And come to find out, I was right. And so I was capable of creating IP or intellectual property, not to make money. Not once have I tried to make money off of this. Now, if something happens to me, I hope that the books that will get published in my name will actually help to support my wife, who I'm not, you know, my family, who will no longer be able to, you know, reside from any assistance from me anymore, because they're going to need help. Everybody needs help. But I'm not asking for your help. I'm asking to help you. So on Friday, I kind of told you that we're going to talk about me and you, and you and your community, and others and their community, and us all working together, not following GR, but following and standing on the Constitution. Because if you're in that position, then you can't be knocked out. You're standing on the highest position in our form of political, you know, genre in regards to the legal system and large in regards to the party and so forth and so on. So anyway, I can concede that there are lots of people. Oh, by the way, the obligatory is you got to actually get out and start your campaign. You need to actually start helping people. Be the one that introduces them to these concepts of interposition. And so we'll get into what we're doing and how we're doing this so that you can actually start taking this on. What we want to do is we actually want to give you material that will actually help you become that guy, that gal, that person that can answer the questions or at least point to where the answers are. And everybody has access to these. The real problem is nobody wants to take the time to read. Nobody wants to take the time to, you know, to get there. But I'm here to tell you that if you just start, you know, consuming it bite by bite, eating the elephant is difficult. And you can't sit and eat it in one meal. And I know we get tired of leftovers after leftovers after leftovers after leftovers, right? I get it. Variety, put some seasoning on it. Try to read it in a different language. Anyway, I digress. So that being said, we need to start working together. We have to start working together. Now, as I really want to make this the last show, if I can do this, if I get this right, then great. We are swimming upstream in an environment because everybody sees good things happening. I'm not saying that they're bad things that Trump is doing, but he is allowing the other things to move forward and he is controlling them. And this is how America buys into the digital currency. This is how America will continually be killed off. Have you seen the chemtrail stop? Have you seen any of the evil warfare tactics that have been used against us that, you know, the subsidies, those types of things? Heck no. As a matter of fact, they're only going to be shifting. Remember, Trump spent trillions of dollars, if I remember correctly, on a transportation infrastructure budget, just like Biden did, just like Obama did. And do I need to remind you that the federal government has no authority to be even meddling in our infrastructure? We talk about this all the time regarding Madison's veto, Monroe's veto, and Jackson's veto of the Departments of Transportation's attempts or Congress's attempts to create the footings of those things. So, you know, I don't mind being all alone. I'm okay with that. I can entertain myself and I can find other ways of bearing fruit in my life. I am only trying to help people become self-sufficient in the sea of information of understanding what is the critical information that we need to be using. We live in a time, unlike the framers, we live in a time where there is so much misinformation. I mean, I'm literally reading things and I'm being fed things. And please don't send it to me. If you found something about Washington or you found something about Hamilton or Lincoln or any of them, I really don't care. I live in the source documents, the things that actually were documenting the process of establishing our Constitution. That's where I live. Anybody that wants to editorialize and bring ancillary or whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is exactly what they did, what they gave us, because that's what we have to restore. Not what some people thought that they gave us or how they, you know, gave us one thing, but they had a different plan for it. It doesn't matter because how it was sold is how it is to be maintained, right? I mean, even though they say, oh, well, they didn't, you know, I get this, believe me, I get this all the time, that there were nefarious framers that had deep designs of deceiving us, but there's absolutely no evidence within these documents of any of that happening. And it didn't happen. And actually, what we have in the ratification debates is very clear. It clarifies this Constitution as such a limited and defined document that the government is doing a plethora of things they have no authority to do. So I don't care what you do, but I'm okay with understanding that probably 99% of what the federal government is doing, that they either don't have the authority to be doing it, or they have taken something that they've had authority to do, and they've completely perverted it. And we talk about the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense has been completely and politically morphed into this huge vestige of powers and granting everybody, you know, the ability to fight everywhere in the world. I mean, like America is an empire. And we were never designed to be an empire. We were designed to be the bastion of liberty that would end war and bring peace and liberty to all. I mean, that's a pretty divine thing. And when you really think about what we are and what we should have been doing this whole time. Now, don't ask me if I, you know, want to be there when they dig people up and burn them in effigy. I want to be with you in helping you build the energy and a movement in your county and in your state in demanding full compliance of the Constitution. If we do that, then you can get your vengeance or your pound of flesh if that's what you really want. But don't allow that to be such a powerful thing in your life that it pulls you away from doing what we really have to do. I have these conversations, and let me just go down a path of something that just recently happened. And it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time. There have been times when I've sat down and worked with people, and they completely agree. Completely agree that, you know, our government, all these things, the government doesn't have the authority to do. But whether they're willing to actually go down the path of holding them accountable, that's a different story. Because the path that we have to go on is not a path of, you know, entrepreneurship. It's not this endeavor of, you know, being able to go out and make money off of this. Now, as you look at everybody and every institution involved with our government, our legal system, and so forth, the grassroots, all of these, I mean, there's billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, being thrown around in these whirlwinds. None of that is for us. And as a matter of fact, it is our job to actually kill that, because as the inflation continually gets more and more, it just creates more to be in the whirlwind. Anyway, so just recently, I've been working with somebody for several years in providing insights and tutelage. And it was never really tutelage, because it was always a wrestling contest, because the person couldn't prove me wrong, and they just, you know, fought. And I'm trying to help. I'm trying to give them the documents to read, and then they go off and read other opinions and so forth, and they spin their wheels in doing things that, you know, it's okay. I mean, we all have the freedom to do things. That's okay. I continually help and continually help. But I get to a point when there's no point in my helping if you're not even listening to me, and you've only proven over a course of several years that you're just not listening. You don't even care. And that's okay. I'm not even going to personalize that, because I realized that each individual has their own motivations. The motivation may be trying to make some money, you know, putting a roof over their head or paying for that roof or whatever it is. I actually made a person introduce themselves to me a little while ago, about maybe a year. And this individual was involved in what I call the secession movement, teaching people about the illegitimacy of the government and the court, but their perception and how they teach it is the fact that it is legitimate, and this is what you have to do because that's all legitimate, and you have to actually sever yourself and go down a completely different path. And my position is we have to actually say they don't have that legitimacy. I mean, when Daniel went into the den of lions, he recognized that the lions were there. He was in the den, but he didn't recognize that the punishment that he was to receive was legitimate. The justice that they were going to dish out was legitimate. And he had divine intervention that protected him from being served unjust punishment. So were they legitimate in their... No, actually, I think it was proven that that didn't happen. Or I should say, they didn't have the legitimate reason of punishing him. So my point is this, is that as we got to know each other, this individual, because he contacted me, he says, "Hey man, you were right on, and we need to talk." So we started talking, and I started realizing that he was helping people basically go through the process of severing themselves from the system, which again, it's a secession. It's one of these little nuances to the secession movement, whether that's be the General Assembly, whether that be the Sovereign Citizen Movement, it doesn't matter. States, nationals, whatever. It's all under the same umbrella. Because bottom line, that none of that under that umbrella is where there's actually good work being done. Remember, work times force or forced. Yeah, work times force equals distance. Yeah, that's right. And so to understand the outcome of what's happening by these folks, they're going in the wrong direction. There is no way that this umbrella, just same thing with the convention states, we go through this. There is no way they can actually fix everything. And so what they are doing is they're fixing one person's personal problem, but the rest of the government, the illegitimate government, is continually grinding us away and killing us. Whether it be the chemtrails, whether it be, you know, the digital currency coming down the road and taking our property. They have it all. As a matter of fact, profoundly thinking about this this morning with my beautiful bride, we were talking about, you know, this system. We're literally in a transition of going from a world that we knew, that we kind of built based on fundamental principles of free market and so forth, and we now have a system that is replacing it, that is the antithesis of a free market. Amazon's a big part of that. I mean, Walmart's a big part of that. All of these big tech giants and property owners and so forth, they know what they're doing. They have corralled us into this point. Even the banks understand that their assets are going to go away. But that doesn't matter. They don't care. You know, you will never need a bank to actually transform anything into cash into your hand anymore. You won't get that. They're going to fix it so that you will never have to worry about currency, so you can't be robbed. Well, the only thing that they can do maybe is, you know, pull out your eyes and cut your hands off and then make, you know, permanent prints of your eye retinas or whatever the biometrics that they're going to use to secure you. So at least you'll be dead, but somebody at least won't have money. They'll just have access to it. They'll never have it. You never. We will never have it. We will never have our property. As I told you before, a digital currency denies us of our rights of property. Electric currency actually does that too, as long as you're sitting there. But technically, today, even though it's a fiat currency, technically today, you should be able to go to a bank and just withdraw everything and say, here, I've got it all right here in cash. And you can convert that into gold. You can convert that into silver. And actually, you can. Even though some people tell you, no, you can't, yes, you can. I know a gentleman that took millions out and put it in gold and put it into, bought his own banks just for the physical security to put it in. And so, where are we? Where are we? Well, so we're working together and come to find out, I was, you know, because it was my hope and intent that we could work together. And guess what? I don't think he's interested. Now, I might have him interested in writing a book regarding common law. And I say this because people need to understand that the book everybody's using, Blackstone's Commentary on the Law, is not appropriate for our legal system and our form of law and government. I mean, it's very appropriate for the point in time with the British Empire, with their monarchical theocracy and the Bible, their Bible, but it's not ours. We had to create a new common law if we were going to keep it, and this is one of the reasons why we don't have it, is because when you realize the common law is designed to give the people justice, and when we realize that those people who were guiding the direction of our legal system, who didn't care whether you had justice or not, they wanted to have control, which is one of the reasons why Hamilton did what he did. So anyway, back to this individual, you know, in our latest conversation, I mean, he, you know, he's not interested in becoming a part of the solution. Do I hate him for that? No. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. He's very helpful. Just not interested in becoming a part of the solution. You can't force people to do this. And so why would I be upset, be mad, or try to attack him in any venue or any way? And the same goes for anybody that I've been working with for a long time. I mean, with him, it's about a year. But there have been those, I've been working with people since 2013, actually even longer than that. As a matter of fact, I've had friends that have come back to me after years and years in the Marine Corps, listening to me harangue and harangue about, you know, what the heck's going on and how these things are all wrong. And, you know, this one guy came back after we retired for several years, or a few, at least 5-6 years. And he came back and said, hey, you know what, GR, you were right. And I was wrong. And I'm sorry. I don't know why. I just couldn't see it at that point in time. But I see what you're saying, and you were right. And, you know, it wasn't a victory dance. I didn't, you know, dance around or anything else. I go, okay, so now let's start working together. And he was actually, because I was trying to get him to write a book that needs to be written. I was going to write it, but I just don't have the time. And it was about the education system because he was an educator. And this is kind of funny. When I approached him with this, you know, I said, hey, we need to write, you know, how to restore our education system. And he just got really upset with me because, again, having these biases or these fixed paradigms, he thought he knew what I was going to say or do. And he goes, I know what you're going to say. You know, he's talking about charter systems and vouchers and all this other stuff. And I said, hold on here. Peace. Hold on. That's not what we're going to talk about. That's not what we need. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. You mean you've actually got something different, something unique? And I said, yes, let's talk about that. And so I will bring you back to this of, you know, what I proposed, and he actually wanted to dive into this and jump into this. And so when we come back, I'll talk to you about it, and I'll talk more about these frustrations. I'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me actually kind of provide a little clarity. I had a successful career. I have a clean record, never been in trouble. And not that I even caused trouble. I caused trouble. I was a contrarian all the time, challenging things, challenging. And it, you know, not that I was a doubting Thomas, but when it came down to politics, government, and those types of things, when it came down to working and so forth, I did exemplary work. I stand behind the work I did. May have made some mistakes, made the same mistakes everybody else made, but everybody made my mistakes seem like the mountain compared to the molehill that it was, like everybody else's molehill. But nevertheless, this gentleman, when I was living in Okinawa, his family was there. We never broke bread at his house. We really, I don't want to say that we hated each other. We were just associates, and he didn't like where I was coming from. In a religious paradigm, government paradigm, and so forth, which is fine. But that was kind of my life. I never tried to become everybody's friend. I was just working on being me and trying, you know, this personality flaw I have and being right. I excelled. I was usually the top in my class in almost all of the things I did in the military. And so, I mean... as a matter of fact, I was even dubbed in the intelligence community because I, you know, it seemed to be coming back at the top of my class. This one top called me Big Head. And that just kind of stuck. And it didn't bother me because, you know, you want to make a point that I do good and I'm right or what have you. I mean, it's just like stating the obvious, but I wasn't trying to be arrogant. And as a matter of fact, I never flew it around. Oh, well, how did you score on, you know, when you went to this school? I never did that. That wasn't me. So it was really more of one of those, I'll just say more of an insult. But anyway, this gentleman, we never really broke bread together. And somehow, I forget how we kind of, actually, I do remember. I used to bombard people with town crier news. Back right after I retired, right when I was getting ready to retire, I started sending out and creating this long list. I stopped doing that a long time ago, by the way. So if you send me an email, you will not be put on an email list from me. Now, I was sending these out, and eventually after we retired, he got one, and he sends back a response, and he says, you know what, it's been a long time. But I wanted you to know, I've realized that I was wrong and you were right. That's how it started. So anyway, we finally, you know, I was getting excited that this guy was actually seeing, you know, that all this government was wrong. It was illegitimate. And we talked about the education system. He wanted to get, you know, involved. He as an educator, you know, when he walked out of the Marine Corps, he decided to become an educator. So he really put his heart and soul into it. And he saw what the problems were, the ideologues and so forth. And in all honesty, today, I've seen things that, you know, we never even talked about. But when we went down this path of talking, he made these presumptions that I just wanted to utilize some of the ideas that were equally failed to the existing system. And I said, no. I said, we need to restore the education system back into the hands of those people who do it best. And that caught him off guard. And I said, well, who did the education system, you know, when the Constitution was being framed and for several years after that? Several years, a century. Oh, well, that was the churches and communities. And I go, yeah, there you go. We need to do that. And he goes, wow. I never would have thought of that, and I never would have thought you would have thought of that. And then I said, really? And then he goes, well, actually, I guess you would have thought of that since I've known you as long as I do. That's kind of how you think anyway. So he said, well, what do we do, and how do we do this? And I actually, you know, we started to set up a time where we could actually work together, because I had published a couple books, or I was getting ready to publish a couple books. And I said, if you write it, actually, this was right about the time I was writing my book. Anyway, I said, if you write it, I'll help you publish, because I'm going down the path of publishing my own. And he said, okay, great, awesome. So we started working on a, you know, like a storyline, how to break, you know, what was all the information that we needed to put into it, and then kind of broke it down. And where was that going to go and land and so forth. And so as we started doing that, and he started to get organized to move forward. I forget what he got hit with, but he got hit with a fatal diagnosis of cancer. And it just broke me up, that the fact that here was a guy that was now at a point where, you know, he was really going to be able to contribute into something much bigger than himself and be denied of that. And so I really did not want to lessen that. But actually, every October, I try to remember to kind of make a point. You know, I still miss this guy, you know, because there's those who have passed before us that, you know, they may have gone on a different path, but it's when our paths intersect and when we choose to go down the same path. Now, the problem with me is I could be totally wrong, folks. I refuse to get off the path I'm on. I am stubborn like an English bulldog to a stupid fault. If you can prove me wrong in source documents, because that's where I base the direction I'm going. If you can prove me wrong with source documents that have the same veracity and the same, I'll just say, foundation, that the founding documents that I'm referring to, this, i.e. those documents that captured the history of what, why, and how they did what they did at the time to get us to the next step in this evolution of the land of liberty, starting with the Toriaks, which is why we cover what we cover. These are the documents, and we've actually covered some that are what we would call the deviant documents, like the Organic Act, like Hamilton and his Federalist Papers, how these things were designed to be deviant, to actually take us in the wrong direction. Not just take us in the wrong direction legitimately, but it was all illegitimate. Convincing people that, yeah, we could do this, and yeah, we're going down that path, just like they did with the National Bank. Now, all things being equal, the gentleman that I'm referring to, you know, it's not like we're archenemies. As a matter of fact, we're good friends. And he's coming here, and I help him, he helps me, and we continue to do that. But, and in all honesty, I actually may get him to write a book on common law. There's another gentleman I'm trying to hopefully convince that maybe he would do this, that, you know, because I'll help publish the book. Because when people start actually seeing somebody who did all the due diligence, I don't have time to do it, but it's all there. And actually, I can point to all the documents, but I can't sit down, and I'm not going to compile the case of making the academic argument of why common law in America has nothing to do with the Bible, has nothing to do with the Constitution, has everything to, with the federal Constitution, but has everything to do with those things of justice outside of that that are still within our protection. See, the Ninth Amendment identifies this vast universe of inalienable rights that we have that are to be protected because the enumerations of the government are, you know, do not include those things of where they're attacking us, the ability to take data from corporations to monitor us and to actually keep files on us. I mean, that right there is unconstitutional. The fact that they have files on a digital footprint for every American, and it's shared and openly shared with the government. Come on, folks. As I was talking, and as I want to kind of clear the air on this, I've had other gentlemen that I've worked with. One goes all the way back to 2012, working with this gentleman, going on the air with him and so forth. And it's not that he ever proved me wrong. He's very supportive, and he's actually cited in his books. Hey, absolutely, Bob, this is the process. But he does not take an active role in working what we've come to, where we are today, in actually pushing petitions and championing on the Constitution in every county to restore a Republican form of government into your county so that we can then restore the Republican form of government in your state. In addition, you've been working with another gentleman. These are just some cases. These are just cases. Now, this gentleman, going back to 2012, I mean, we're still in contact. I mean, not as much because distance, you know, the heart kind of grows, you know, further. But, you know, he's one of these days, because he's moved to Oregon, and one of these days I'm hoping that we can actually break bread again. We used to just go and eat Mexican food or what have you. And it wasn't easy because he was pretty picky about what he ate, but that's okay. I mean, you know, we all have our own nuances. And I love, you know, whatever it is that makes people up and what makes them what they are. I love that. And so anyway, in context with another gentleman, we have been working together for a while, I've been providing guidance and so forth. And I provide what I believe is the best advice for what that person could be doing. Now, if I could count on one hand how many times that person's actually followed what I said, then I would, you know, I'd be feeling pretty good. But it's frustrating. But still, I'm not one of those to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't believe in scorched earth. You hear me say this. And so the reality is, I'm trying to unite. And if you burn down doors, you burn down bridges, you've taken a way for us to unite. And so, interestingly enough, understanding what is the real solution, been, you know, haranguing and haranguing this person for years, just like everybody, no different at all. And yet, this individual has found another way to go and do something different, because it is it could become the matter du jour that can get people invigorated over fixing a single problem. And again, just like abortion, what have you, doesn't matter what it is, but nevertheless, they chose to go down that path. Now, one thing that kind of helps, I think, you know, in associations, is to be forthright and upfront with what you're doing. But I've realized that some people just don't do that. They just kind of do things and they don't tell you. They keep, you know, cards kind of held tight to their vest, and, you know, so you never know what they're holding. And that's okay if you're playing poker, but if you're working together, it's kind of frustrating. At least on my end, it's kind of like working with people that live behind emails of, you know, I'll call them masked emails, when we're having organizational meetings, when we're trying to create organizational meetings. Now, if a person does not want to be unmasked by a bunch of patriots who are good people, because actually, when I look at those types of emails, one of the things I always have to do is I have to tell people, hey, don't reply all, please, because nobody wants to see their inbox burnt up because somebody's responding to, you know, this or that or whatever. And 9 times out of 10, it's something that they didn't even need to know. So, you know, error in just replying without replying to all. I mean, it's a big problem, but nevertheless, we have to trust each other. And we have to kind of, because trusting, I believe, is one of those things that kind of goes, you know, hand in hand in that association, because you're creating some level of trust in associating. But nevertheless, it's entertaining. I find it ironic. It's actually more of a paradox that when you're working with somebody and they choose to go down this other path, or they've already been on this other path, it's a paradox to actually say, well, you need to support me and I need to support you. Well, actually, no, you don't. I mean, if you've chosen to go down that path, you need to go 100% into that path. And you already know me and you know my position regarding that path. So, I mean, it's not an attack on you. It's literally attack on the path. I mean, I'm not attacking the individual, such as the gentleman that does the, you know, the legal advice and so forth. I mean, any person that is involved that I know of, that I'm friends with, as a matter of fact, I have legislators who this past year all of a sudden went dark on me because they decided to go into the camp of the Convention of States. And I think they felt like they had completely defied me and made this decision to actually support the petition for the Convention of States. And I think that South Dakota, one of those states, actually, I think they crossed the finish line this year. I'm not sure. I got to go, not that I want to live on the Convention of States sites, but anyway, the point is that I can understand why people, you know, feel like they may be disappointing me, but they're not. I mean, we have to make our own decisions. And whatever decisions you make, as long as you can sleep at night, that's what's important. And you should, and if you can justify why the one myopic issue is that much more important than saving everything, then okay. But I believe that at the end of the day, I think that we are selling ourselves short if we're not doing if we're not seeking the real solutions. And so this is why I'm going to continue this year. I'm committed to covering all the content one more time. And we're going to be a little more focused. I'll try not to do as I've mentioned with Tammy, I want to get better at not doing the rat holes. But there are things that I tend to share that sometimes I feel really constrained, like I got to share them. But I want to get through as much of this content so that we wrap up this year with a full set of content. That way, if all of a sudden, and I'm hoping before the end of the year, I have so many people and so many counties and states that are, you know, just ready to go. And I'll be the holdup. Because supporting a radio show on a daily basis is a bugger. I'm telling you, it's a bugger. And so what we can do next year is we can literally rebroadcast these exact same shows. And as a matter of fact, my sponsors won't care one bit because I have none. And even though we'll be saying the exact same things on the same days or however they kind of, you know, transpond from the days this year to the days next year, January 2nd is the day we'll air the Toriax. We will do those things kind of in sync. And from that point, boom, 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 boom. And I will just avoid doing the replaying those things where I'm talking about Trump doing this, doing that. And I'll just redo those things. Those are the only shows that I'll do fresh. I can do a complete year or two or three of reruns and then actually identify other things that I can do, because this would save me a lot of time and still allow me a little bit of time on the air to provide additional guidance. I don't want to, you know, anyway, the point is this, is that we can still use this forum to actually help cross-pollinate, because it has been my desire for a long time to have, you know, we've had Chip on regarding his music, but I'd like to actually have Chip on, Chip Murray, regarding his efforts as a local leader and what he's trying to do. This guy's heart is of gold, and he understands that we have to get involved at the local level, and we have to start correcting certain things that are a real part of the problem. And the party is one of those things. Now, the last thing a person in the party wants to hear is that they're a part of the problem. And I can tell you, you know, there are many people in the party that hate me. There are many people in the convention states that hate me. There are many people in the John Birch's. I mean, I'm not here trying to create friends. I'm here trying to help educate people in what we really have to do. What the Constitution really says. Am I the utmost authority on the Constitution? At this point, I've yet to see anybody that has spent the time in actually connecting all the dots regarding the ratification debates and what the intent behind all of these things were. I mean, who today even questions the Department of Defense or the Department of Transportation? Anybody? Show me the patriotic organization that says this Department of Defense is so way out of hand and has gone so far down the path of being unconstitutional, it's killing us. And it is. It's the same thing with all of these assumed powers and or perverted roles and responsibilities. So, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I think I've just recently said that I'm not here to try to get debates with people and then, you know, prove how right I am. What I'm trying to do is actually just try to stimulate the conversation, challenge paradigms, because it's only when I was capable of challenging my paradigm that I could see things differently. You know, in other words, it's kind of like that artwork that has a three-dimensional view to it. You know, when you look at it, it just looks like some intricate little patterns of, you know, these blending colors that, you know, aren't like something that's really jumping out. So you go, what is that? And it's one of those 3D artwork pieces. Oh, okay. So you actually have to challenge your paradigm to look at it differently. That you, instead of looking at the, you know, each of the individual pieces, you actually have to look at the entire thing in its entirety, where you relax your eyes and you just look at it, where all of a sudden the depth of that three-dimensional image jumps out. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that. But that right there is a perfect example of a altering or shifting of one's paradigm. Now, you can easily shift back and forth, and I believe the people that have learned to do that can do that. It's how you're seeing things. You're literally seeing it from a micro view to a macro view. And so I've always felt, and I've found, that whenever I was working to challenge my paradigm, it gave me the opportunity to see things that other people weren't seeing. As a matter of fact, I've even said on this show where, you know, I was profoundly moved by Thomas Wood's book, Nullification. And boy, it really got me going down this path of nullify, just like the John Birchers and the 10th Amendment Center and all those folks that are in that camp. And then I actually started reading the documents and started realizing that's not what they were doing. That's not what they ended up doing at all. As a matter of fact, Madison clarified this. It was interposition. And here's a doctor, Dr. Thomas Woods, a very smart guy, smarter than me. But he couldn't shift his paradigm to actually see what and how these responses in this entire, I'll just say this entire clump of documents that were all directly associated with each other, how come he didn't see that? Was he wrong? Well, yeah, he was, because he only amplified very specific parts. Now, these people are, you know, I'm not here trying to create a name for myself at their expense. These people are brilliant. I mean, he's earned his doctorate degree. Very smart. Me? I'm a self-educator, and I have learned to have faith in the framers and what they tell me. And as a matter of fact, I've gotten to a point, it's not like I have spidey senses, right? I've actually ran across people that have said that. I've actually, you know, developed the ability to know how firm and how rigid the Constitution really is. And so giving you that assurance only comes when you realize that if it ain't listed, they can't do it. Just like they said in the ratification debates. The secret truly is the ratification debates and these other principal documents, and that's why we're centering on that. So what we plan to do, and so on Friday, I'm planning on actually talking about how you can set up a reading. Now, if you just got four or five people, I'll do it. And I'll spend the time with you. Well, if you guys set up the time, we'll set up some time and we'll actually read through these documents, because these documents have to be understood by you and the people that you're going to be working with. And then you have to bring more people. So this is the snowball effect. And eventually I'm going to leave it in turn to you so that you can actually conduct the reading. So this is how I get myself out of doing this. And then you become the local, you know, hero of helping everybody start to see the bigger picture and backing away from the micro. Get out of the get out of the trees so you can see the forest. Get out of the grass so you can see the lawn. Get out of the clouds so you can see the sky. So those types of things really make, and I huge all caps, make the difference. Changing one's paradigm. And so when people decide, I don't hate these people because they choose to do something different, but I'm not going to support a path that will not solve the problem. Yeah, you know, getting abortion to be illegal would be great, but it's not legal in the first place. It's illegitimate. Even though, you know, regardless of the courts, regardless of what it is that people decide to go fight, it's not legitimate. We have a process of restoring that. And don't waste the process to restore one thing at a time. That's death by paper cuts, and we will never get out of this. We have to do it with the whole shebang. And that's what Republic Review does, and that's what we're doing with these constitutional review committees. I'm G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.